That alone could be our message.
So powerful. For those of you who are guests, I welcome you. If you were expecting Pastor Larry, he is off, headed towards Arkansas, and then I think he's going on to, I think he said Tulsa, and then making their way back through St. Louis. So I thank you for being here. For those that are regular attendees, you know, looking around, we have a little lighter crowd today. But I thank you for your attendance today, and I hope you have a great Memorial Day weekend. Which really brought me to my message today. Oftentimes when someone passes away, as Debbie talked about in her message this morning with the children, the legacies of those that have come before us, and the hope that we have for those soldiers that go off to war, this Memorial Day celebrates the lives of those who don't come back, the lives of those who have given that ultimate sacrifice. And the chair at the table being an empty chair is how we converted the symbol of the legacy and the hope that was used during the Vietnam War into our Memorial Day symbol this morning here at church, because there's many families who waited at that kitchen table for that family member to come home, and they never did come home. And oftentimes we'll say, we will never forget. We will never forget. And I thought for my message today, how we remember oftentimes frames how we will be remembered. How will you be remembered is a question that I thought about. And what do you remember before you think about how you'll be remembered? Memories shape who you are, the events in your past, the people that you remember. Everybody is a little bit different. Each one of us is like a patch in a quilt. And all the experiences are different. But they shape our actions. And our actions oftentimes form how we will be remembered. And sometimes those actions don't rise to the level sometimes that God would want us to live up to. But in the Old Testament, Ezekiel talked about that. And he said, if the wicked man turns from all his sins, which he has committed, and he's speaking from God's perspective, this is God's words through Ezekiel, and he observes all my statutes and practices justice and righteousness, he shall surely live. He shall not die. And all his transgressions which he has committed will not be remembered. Because of his righteousness which he has practiced, he will live. And I thought of Ezekiel this week when I saw some of the current events and some of the news coverage as it relates to General Robert E. Lee. And in New Orleans, some of you may be aware of them taking down the statue of Robert E. Lee, because his memory, what they remembered of Robert E. Lee, is something that we shouldn't celebrate. And a little bit of history on Robert E. Lee shows a man maybe that we shouldn't have been taking that memorial and that statue down. Here's a comment from one of his slaves. And he said, I was raised by one of the greatest men in the world. There was never one born of a woman greater than Robert E. Lee, according to my judgment. All of his servants, his slaves, were set free 10 years before the war, but all remained on the plantation until after the surrender. Now, I won't get into an argument about whether he was under some Stockholm syndrome, if you will, being a slave all his life, so therefore he didn't know true freedom as we know it today. But it definitely is a different Robert E. Lee. But more importantly, to what Ezekiel said, maybe we ought to celebrate who Robert E. Lee became. And his comments after the war are very telling. After the war, trustees of a small college in Virginia wanted him to come to their college and become the president of their college. And it was a college that was suffering from enrollment. It was declining. The war had taken a terrible toll on everyone in the area. And they were down to maybe 70 students is all that was left at Washington University. And they asked him to take over. And he resisted at first, but then he prayed, and he came back to the trustees in a letter, of which just one excerpt was, "It is the duty of every citizen in the present condition of the country to do all in his power to aid in the restoration of peace and harmony. Later on, a widow of a Confederate soldier wrote, and she was very bitter. And as part of a long letter to her, to reassure her that America as a union together would be much better, he wrote, "Dismiss from your mind all sectional feeling and bring your children up to be Americans." I think Ezekiel's words mean something. God's word means something through Ezekiel. That it's not the man he was, but the man he became is who we should celebrate. Yet, sometimes in our society, we try to rewrite history. And now we're tearing down a monument to a man who talked about harmony and peace and togetherness and working all together as an American. That's a monument you'd want to destroy, that's for sure. And I thought, well, what does this matter? On this Memorial Day, does this all matter to us? The rewriting of history, if you will, and the symbols of history. And then I thought about one of the greatest symbols we have, which serves as a memorial to us as Christians every day. And it's right behind me. And it's probably one of the greatest headstones that we have. To celebrate the resurrection of Christ. And I started thinking, if people can rewrite history about one man and others of history, what might they do about Jesus? What might they do about the monuments that we erect to celebrate the grace, the resurrection, and as Ezekiel spoke, every transgression can be forgiven by God. So I did a little research and started to find that just as monuments to Robert E. Lee are being torn down, some churches, Christian churches, are taking down crosses in their church because they are afraid of what it represents to others, that it may turn off some of other religions, and they want to be all-inclusive in their congregation. And I have no problem being inclusive. I'm not saying that. God welcomes all of us with open arms. Every single person. But how will you remember Christ? How do you remember every day when you come to wake up each morning? Every Sunday when you come to church? And I think my question to you this morning shouldn't have been, how will you be remembered? But rather, how does God want you to be remembered? There's many ways, but I just plucked out four. I think one of the things he wants is he wants you to be known as somebody who remembers the Christian soldiers that came before us. That is the purpose and the history and the origin of Memorial Day, that we remember those that come before us. In the scripture this morning, Debbie read, a couple of things really stick out, that essentially he's instructing us to store up for ourselves treasures in heaven. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. For where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. Those aren't physical things. Those aren't things that you can take with you. Those aren't things that when you pass away and we're laid to rest in a cemetery somewhere, that somebody's going to remember you for all the material goods you had. They're going to remember you for how you acted, and your actions demonstrate those treasures that you place in heaven. Now, I put up on the screen a photo of Spring Grove Cemetery with the white dogwood there, and Sally and I continue to walk there, and we used to run there in our younger days. The other cemetery is one I used to run in at least 3 to 5 days a week when we lived in Selma, Alabama. I used to love to run in an old cemetery called Old Live Oak Cemetery, where individuals from the Revolutionary War through the Civil War, all through the present time, were buried. And it was just a time where you could go and you could remember. So as a result of that, in my travels oftentimes, if I have a little bit of time as I'm traveling from one city to another, Or if I have an evening session and I've gotten there in the late afternoon and I have some time and I pass a cemetery that might attract my attention, I'll stop. For whatever reason, I just love the history to read the monuments and the tombstones of those that have come before us. It tells the story of who we are. But sometimes I'll come upon cemeteries where we have forgotten. We said we would not forget, but they're overgrown. Weeds are everywhere. And it stands in such stark contrast to how we should be celebrating on Memorial Day. And I think this video, this very short clip, is really what God instructs us to do. Well, hey, Greg, can you turn on the audio for the PC? And I think there's something to those cemeteries like Arlington and any of the other national cemeteries or a well-kept cemetery in your community. It just says that we will not forget. We will remember. And I can remember years ago when we went to Washington, D.C. as a family. Gosh, I don't know, maybe 10 years ago. We spent the week there and we went to a lot of different things that you can do in the Washington area and all the museums and all the things that are available to you in D.C. And coming back home, we asked the kids, of all those places we visited, what do you remember most? And what do you think they said? Arlington National Cemetery. Of all those locations. It surprised me a little bit. And I relate that story because it relates to the man that's on the screen in front of you. He became a very successful businessman running a wreath company, the Worcester Wreath Company in Harrington, Maine. And in 1992, he found himself 10 or 15 days before Christmas, when all of his wreaths should have been sold by then, and they weren't. And he had a few hundred or a few thousand wreaths, I can't remember, but enough to make a difference, but too late in the season to sell the wreaths. And he started thinking about when he went to Washington, D.C. when he was 12 years old. And what made an impression on him? Arlington. Not Arlington, but the sacrifice of all those that gave their lives so he could be successful in his business. And he told his wife, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to figure out a way we can get from Maine to Arlington National Cemetery in Washington, D.C. with these wreaths we have left over. So in 1992, he just started a small campaign on his own, trying to get a volunteer with a truck to take his extra wreaths and lay them at the monuments, the tombstones, the headstones of those individuals in Arlington. And for years and years and years, it was a handful of people that helped him with any extra wreaths they had left over every Christmas season to take them to Arlington. And then it grew into a program called Wreaths Across America. And it started, as I said, very small. They only had a few wreaths to go to Arlington, a few thousand. Then in 2005, through the power of the internet, someone saw an image and found out the story and the struggle they were having to get wreaths. And they said, we'll volunteer and a program started where trucking companies volunteered their trucks. Wreaths Across America started an organization where you could donate to buy a wreath at cost, and the wreath company wanted a wreath for every single headstone at Arlington National Cemetery, hundreds of thousands of wreaths. 2 years ago, they were a few hundred short, and that's how I came to know the story. Today, they get enough donations to put a wreath on every single headstone. There are up to 700,000 wreaths are donated a year to put on headstones. So I got involved, and now they've spread it out to 200 other cemeteries across the country. They've had so many people donate. They said, not only Arlington, but let's decorate the graves of every soldier who has died serving our country in every city, in every state, and in some cases, they have territories represented today. So I got involved with one at Spring Grove Cemetery the last couple of years, and we don't have enough wreaths. There's not enough donations to cover all of the few thousand that are at Spring Grove. So they told us, just randomly choose a headstone, go to that headstone, and place a wreath, and simply say their name, so they'll know they are not forgotten. And I just randomly chose one, James Cox. And I thought, could I find out anything about James Cox? And unfortunately, dig as I might, there is very little known. They don't know where he was born. They know he served in the 21st Kentucky Infantry Company E. He was originally buried out by Little Miami River, out by Kings Island, in Camp Dennison, Ohio. But in 1869, after the war, there were 340 Union soldiers that were buried out of Camp Dennison and approximately 35 prisoners of war, Confederate soldiers who died and were buried out there. They were interred and moved, those 30, to Columbus. The 340 were moved to Spring Grove Cemetery. And that's all we know about James Cox. But the idea of one man made a difference. When he had extra wreaths, he said, I'm not going to forget the James Coxes of the world. And I think that's what God calls us to do. I think another thing that God wants us to be remembered for is, are we the example of the character traits that God expects? And you could name off dozens and dozens. But I think one that's very important is honesty. And I pulled out 2 Peter 1, verses 20 and 21. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So as you read some of the prophecies from the Old Testament, oftentimes you can be confused that that's the prophet seeing things or feeling things, but it's God speaking through that prophet. And I think it's important for us, as we read Scripture, to understand, while we may not understand everything in the Bible, and it may not be politically correct today, what's in the Bible, but it's not up to our will. Just as the prophets couldn't reinterpret what God was asking them to say, we have to be honest about what's in the Bible. And that brought me back to some of the statements of the churches that were removing the crosses. I don't know that they're being honest to God's word. One of the pastors said, our community has a really open-minded community for years now. He calls his church a community. He does not call it a church. We've had a number of Muslim people, Jewish people, Buddhists, atheists. We're catching up to ourselves. He essentially says, we welcome them to come in and worship any way they want into their church. And I think it's outside of Dallas. And I thought about that for a minute. Because he said, having a cross in a church is like having a bullet as a memorial to Martin Luther King. And I thought, whoa, that's pretty extreme. Is he really being honest? Do we really want to take down the cross and say that a resurrected Jesus and the grace that Easter Sunday morning provides to each and every one of us something we want to tear down because we want to invite others to worship someone other than Jesus? Because being honest, you have to look at John 3:16, and he says, it's only through me that you get God. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, that doesn't mean we don't welcome. We aren't nice. We don't expose others to Jesus and condemn them if they don't believe. That's not what we're saying. But we're saying our headstones have a meaning. And we welcome you. I would not expect anyone to go into a church of a different denomination and you demand that they take down theirs. You still believe in Jesus, but I wouldn't expect you to force someone to take it down. But honesty is something that's part of our memorials and remembrance we have to think about. You have to think about the choices that you make. Be intentional about the choices you make. Make sure they line up with God's word and the legacy he desires for you. Every choice has a consequence. As you go down the path of life, and some are very, very difficult. It's not easy. And they could mean, you could think they're simple things, but at the moment they can be very, very life-altering. And I thought about choices over the past couple of months when you compare the mantra of the Marines, where if there is a Marine that's injured or shot or wounded or shot down, whatever it might be, they don't leave them behind. They will sacrifice their life to go rescue one of their own. And then we read this story, the terrible, tragic story of the young man at Penn State University, Tim Piazza, 19-year-old. Terrible choice he made to go to this fraternity party and as part of a hazing routine to start drinking until he was so inebriated he couldn't drink again. But the choices of those around him for 19 hours, and if you read the grand jury report, 62 pages, your stomach will turn about the choices that the people around him made when they saw him so sick, falling down the steps, his head crushed. He couldn't barely survive. And one young man says, we need to call 911. His friend says, oh no, we can't. So he didn't call 911. He was too afraid to call 911. That's a choice that all of those 18 or 19 that have been criminally indicted made terrible choices, and one man died as a result of it. Now, not every choice that we have in life is life and death, but every choice that we make has an impact, a lasting impact on our lives, good and bad. And then finally, when you're facing tough choices, even if it's in the moment where you think you should call 911 and somebody says, no, don't do it, we'll get in trouble. I'm sure that's what was behind it. They didn't say it that way. But I'm sure there was fear that if somebody called 911, the fraternity was going to be shut down, they were going to get in trouble, and nobody ever thought about, wait a minute, life is more precious than any of that. We need to protect his life. We can't leave any man behind. But in those moments, and I've referenced this many times, but years ago, Greg and I had a discussion about prayer, and I said, well, I'll say a prayer tonight about whatever it was we were discussing. And he said, why not say a prayer right now when it's in need at that moment? You don't know when that moment is, but individually you will. You'll know that time where you've got a tough choice to make, and God is waiting for us always with an open ear and an open heart to hear anything that's on our mind. It can be something where we're troubled. It could be on the other extreme where we're just blessed like we are to be living in a country of both freedom, the ability to worship God, and our forefathers who understood how important it was to have a God and the resurrected Jesus in the founding of our country and the freedoms to celebrate that. So as you go out this Memorial Day weekend, if you go to the gravesite of a family member, if you go to the gravesite of a fallen soldier, I would ask you to think about the legacy that God wants you to leave, so that the next time that we hear taps, we think about all those that have come before us and what will God want everyone to remember about us. Let us pray. O Lord, as we celebrate this Memorial Day weekend, our memories take us to those that have come before us and those that have sacrificed for our country. But our prayers also take us back to the fact that you sacrificed your Son for us, lest we never forget that he is there for us, and that through the Holy Spirit you are with us each and every moment of our lives. And the grace that you have offered to us is a gift that's available to each and every one of us. Lest we not forget, we thank you for every blessing that we have in this world. In your name we pray. Amen.